This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين والعاقبة للمتقين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. So very similar to the last few weeks, I wanted to use this opportunity, inshallah ta'ala, to speak to some of the sentiments, some of the questions that have been coming up in regards to what we see unfolding right now with our brothers and sisters in Palestine, specifically in Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for them and give them victory. Allahumma ameen. And particularly today, and it's hard to say which days are harder than the other days, but particularly today when we witnessed what might have been the worst massacre since the beginning of this aggression over the last few weeks in Al Jabaliya, where you have a refugee camp that was bombed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them all as shuhada, Allahumma ameen. And you see the images of people pulling their children from the rubble once again. And there is a comment, there is a sentiment that I've heard expressed, and I'm sure many of you have either expressed or heard it yourselves, which is that I've seen more death in these last few weeks than I've seen over the course of my entire life. That we have become so accustomed to scrolling through the videos of people pulling their dead loved ones from beneath the rubble. And there is a question of, is that healthy? Do I keep watching? How do I not let that completely demoralize me and shut me off? How do I engage this to a point that it's still productive for me? Is it okay for me to walk away from my device for a few hours? Because there's almost a guilt. SubhanAllah, I think that many of us are experiencing that the last thing you see before you sleep are videos out of Palestine, and the first thing that you wake up to are updates about what's happening in Gaza. And alhamdulillah, that's a good thing that we're engaged, that our hearts are beating for our ummah, but at the same time, is it healthy? And I want to give you a scenario, because even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke to how sometimes seeing too much of something, even if it is beneficial for you, can actually paralyze. And it reminded me of a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want you to think about this scenario. Imagine if as you drove by graveyards, you could hear the noise of adab al-qabr. I want you to imagine as a human being, if when you went to the cemetery, you could hear the cries from those that are facing adab al-qabr, those that are facing the punishment of the grave. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Allahumma ameen. How would we be able to function as people if every time we drove by a graveyard, we could actually hear the noises from the graves? Now, is it good to remember death? Absolutely. Is it good to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from adab al-qabr? Absolutely. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in this hadith, it's an authentic hadith, he said to Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha, قَالَ لَوْلَا أَنْ لَا تَدَافَنُوا لَدَعُوتُ اللَّهَ أَنْ يُسْمِعَكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ الْقَبْرِ الَّذِي أَسْمَعُ مِنْهُ. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that had I not feared that you would not bury your dead, if I wasn't scared that if you heard what I was hearing, you would stop burying your dead, I would have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow you to hear what I'm hearing. And then the Prophet turned to us and he said, ta'awadhu billah min adhab al-qabr, seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from adhab al-qabr. And he would sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do so. In the words of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, I never heard him praying. He never made a salah, except that he sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from it. The Prophet could hear it. Other people could not. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying that Allah had spared us from hearing it because it would paralyze us. We would not be able to function had we been able to hear all of that which takes place. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in another narration, he said, هَلْ تَرَوْنَ مَا أَرَى? Do you see what I see? Are you capable of seeing what I see? And he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إِنِّي أَرَى الْفِتَنَةَ تَقَعُ خِلَالَ بِيُوتِكُمْ مَوَاقِعَ الْقَطْرِ. He said that I can see the tests and the tribulations falling on your homes like raindrops. I see things that you are incapable of seeing. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, it is a rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you are spared from some of this. Now, why do I start off tonight with this? This short reminder, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with this. Because let's take a step back and let's actually acknowledge it is not natural for us to see people being pulled out in pieces at the rate in which we are seeing it happen. We're not psychologically primed that way. We're not emotionally primed that way. This is not natural. What we are witnessing is not natural. And our witnessing of it is not natural. And what is more unnatural than that is the evil that is actually taking place that we're seeing. Right? So it's not natural for us to be seeing that much, this many frames of death a day, this many frames of genocide a day, this many frames of trauma a day. And it's even more unnatural what is happening to our brothers and sisters. I was just reading, subhanAllah, a tweet from Brother Muhammad Smiri, one of the people from Gaza that's been keeping people up to date. And he said, you know, I've seen what I thought I'd never see before. Imagine running for your life from your home and then seeing the heads of people that you knew on the street. And you can't even stop, subhanAllah, to actually mourn and grieve. You just run. You have to flee for your life. And he doesn't understand, subhanAllah, how this is happening. And it's not natural. It shouldn't be natural. And as believers, this is not okay for us to accept as a status quo, right? That's why we're so engaged in this, so that it doesn't have to keep happening. Now for us, as we're watching it from afar, and we have our hearts attached to this cause, what are some things that we can take from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this regard as to what is a healthy level of exposure and engagement, and what does it mean to take a step back? First and foremost, how perfect is he sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to hear all that and he used to see all that? لكن كان عليه الصلاة والسلام بساما ضحكا. Still, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to smile and he used to make people smile and he used to bring joy to people sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best of all of examples. And he saw and he heard things alayhi salatu wasalam that no one else would, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still did not deprive the people in his life alayhi salatu wasalam of his ihsan, of his excellence and his kindness to them. When he would say sallallahu alaihi wasallam tabassamuka fi wajhi akhik sadaqa, to smile in the face of your brother is a charity, what do you think he was doing for the rest of us sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was in our midst? Don't you think that some days it might have been hard for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to smile? I don't know. I don't have a hadith to prove it. I'm purely guessing that there were probably some days, because as perfect as he was sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he grieved. He had a big heart alayhi salatu wasalam. Azizun alayhi ma anittum harisun alaykum. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He had a big heart, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was worried about people. He was even worried about the people of Mecca. He was thinking about Khadija radiallahu anha every day. Don't you think that sometimes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was smiling through a lot of pain? Don't you think that there were days that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Allah azza wa jalla says, تَحْسَبُهُمْ أَغْنِيَا, you would think that they were أغْنِيَا, that they were fine, مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ, because of their ta'affuf, because of this quality of modesty. Don't you think the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the greatest manifestation of that? Yes. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still wanted to bring ihsan to his family and to the people that were around him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because that's the ibadah of the moment. The ibadah of the moment is not to come home and your family sees you with a frown on your face all the time and you say, why are you frowning? And you say, well, you know, don't you see what's happening? Right? Sometimes our families deserve more from us. So let's just acknowledge that he is the most perfect example, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that it is not what is asked of us to walk around without the ability to still, I don't want to even say find joy, because it's hard to find joy right now, but to still exude what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you of ihsan, of excellence and courtesy to the people that are around you. So that is actually a form of mujahadatun nafs. That's actually a form of striving to sometimes do that so that you can manifest what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was manifesting. That's number one. Number two, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop the daily activities of life, even as there were moments of great grief. You know, one of the great wisdoms that we take from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that there were limits and boundaries that were placed around grief. Even though grief was given its space, cry, but don't wail. 3 days of aza, don't go beyond that, right? The Prophet ﷺ put limits, and of course this is all divinely inspired towards grief, because that is from the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us as well. So I've heard some people saying, I'm going to cancel my wedding. You know, I don't feel like we should have a wedding right now. Let me tell you something. If the Prophet ﷺ canceled weddings because of tragedy, half of the Sahaba would have never been married, because they lived in a lot of hardship. They lived in a lot of tragedy. There were a lot of weddings that happened between Badr and Uhud and between Uhud and Khandaq, and so on and so forth. They carried on, and that's actually part of the resilience of the community, is that we don't allow them to destroy every aspect of our lives. And so no, it's not insensitive. And it's not haram to carry on with the daily things. Some of the ulama, in fact, reflected on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he talked about things like al-nikah min sunnati, that the nikah is from my sunnah, and the walima and things of that sort. Not inviting extravagance, but making room for people to still function the way that they are meant to be functioning. Those things are not problematic. Those things, in fact, should continue. Now, what is it that is an unhealthy form of decompressing? And this is where I actually want to, inshallah ta'ala, hopefully focus a little bit on. The Prophet ﷺ warned us from inviting ghafla, inviting heedlessness into our lives. And so let me tell you what's not a healthy form of decompression. What's not a healthy form of decompression is to look at dying kids and then to watch a lewd movie and to tell yourself that I'm taking a break because I need a mental break. Don't invite seeds of ghafla, seeds of heedlessness, into your heart. Or I'm going to hang out with my friends and we're going to gossip for a few hours. Or I'm going to listen to these songs that have absolutely no benefit and they harden the heart. That is not decompressing. That is, in fact, hardening the heart. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to avoid the things that bear ghafla, that bear heedlessness in our hearts. When we say what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, that Allah is never ghafil, Allah is never heedless, unaware of what the transgressors do. We should not become heedless of those that are facing the brunt of transgression and oppression at any moment in our lives. It's always present. It's always somewhere there in the heart. And do not engage and indulge the things that actually bear hardness to the heart. This is a time to actually wake yourself up from that. This is a time for us to actually think about, you know, how we do not engage certain things. Number four, your relationship with the Qur'an. Your relationship with the Qur'an. Your relationship with the Qur'an. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ رَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That we have revealed from the Qur'an what is a cure and a mercy for the believers. There are many fawa'id, many useful benefits to this verse. Some of the scholars, they commented on this, they said, شِفَاء أي للقلب. It is a cure to your heart and to what you are ailing from, and then it bears rahmah, it brings mercy to the entirety of the believing community. And there are many benefits from this ayah. This is only one of those benefits. And so it brings cure, sakina, healing to your heart, and then it bears collective rahmah upon this ummah, collective mercy upon this ummah. This is a time if when you're going to decompress and say, you know what, I am not going to look at videos for an hour, I'm going to spend a couple hours away from this stuff, I need to be able to function. Instead of watching a movie, read some Qur'an. Instead of scrolling from the devastating reel to a funny reel to make yourself laugh, read some Qur'an. That doesn't mean that you don't have time for joy. We already established that the Prophet ﷺ carried on with the activities of daily life and the means by which we bear healthy leisure in our lives. But this is a time to find the healing, the medicine of the Qur'an in your life. And so when you're unplugging from that, that doesn't mean plug into the opposite extreme. Plug into the Qur'an and let the Qur'an fill your heart. It will cure your heart and it will descend mercy upon this ummah. The benefits of it are innumerable. Number five, القيام التهجد إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوى مقيلا. This is the time in the night that is more suitable for you to honor what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, and it bears within you, revives within you, what will give you the ability to carry forward the next day. And so this is a time for us to establish that habit as well in any way that we can. Number six, and I want you to also think about this, because this is where we find the statement of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, إِنِّي لَأَحْتَسِبُ نَوْمَتِي كَمَا أَحْتَسِبُ قَوْمَتِي, that I seek the reward for my sleep the way I seek the reward for my wakefulness. Why? Because he sleeps so that he can be more refreshed to read the Qur'an. I want you to actually set an intention for yourself when you decompress, when you unplug for some time. It's healthy to unplug sometimes. And whether that's you're going to play some sports, you're going to exercise, you're going to enjoy the halal companionship of other people that are not going to make you ghafil, that are not going to bear ghafla in your heart, but that will keep you, inshallah ta'ala, energized in a way that doesn't bring about the seeds of haram, the seeds of heedlessness. Treat it like your sleep. Treat it like your sleep. Make the intention that when you take a step away, you're also doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that you can continue to be more productive, inshallah ta'ala, for their cause. So be active in making the intention. You know what, I'm gonna set aside this time. I'm going to spend some time with family. I'm gonna spend some time exercising. I'm gonna sleep for a bit. I'm gonna take a nap. I'm gonna take a walk. And that is fi sabilillah. That's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to become heedless of my brothers and sisters, but to become healthy for my brothers and sisters. This is going to need you for the long run. It's already very clear that this is not one of those, you know, 2-3 day airstrikes and then they're gone and then we go back to the status quo. This is going to need you for the long run to be engaged bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The last thing, dear brothers and sisters, that I will share with you is there's a dhikr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time that reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. A treasure of al-Jannah. And when you see what seems to be circumstances that will not change, or power that is insurmountable, remember, la hawla, no one can change circumstances, wa la quwwa, and no one actually has power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And repeat the adhkar right now, especially this dhikr, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Especially this dhikr. The adhkar that are rewardable because they are adhkar, because they are remembrances from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, within those remembrances are reminders of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakil. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Repeat these types of adhkar. Take a moment to ponder upon them, inshaAllah ta'ala. When you feel paralyzed, remember that you're calling upon the Most Powerful. When you feel hopeless, remember you are calling upon the Healer. When you see mercilessness, cruelty, remember that you're calling upon the Most Merciful. Take these treasures that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you and sustain yourself with what they are being sustained with right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing them with a heavy, heavy test. It's not natural. It is hard to watch it. It's even harder to be in it. They need us for the long run, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And so again, decompress. Do not go into ghafla. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perfect at this. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to sleep, what would he say? He would say, my eyes sleep, but my heart doesn't sleep. Right? وَلَا يَنَامُ قَلْبِي. The Prophet ﷺ's heart would not go to sleep. And so when he would sleep, عليه الصلاة والسلام, his heart would stay awake. None of us are to that point that our hearts would remain awake, even when our eyes sleep, to the extent that the Prophet ﷺ's heart would stay awake. But certainly the more we become like him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the more our hearts start to resemble his heart, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The more we start to practice his way, alayhi salatu wasalam, the more that our hearts start to resemble his heart, alayhi salatu wassalam. And so you're never distant. Your eyes sleep. Your brain is able to focus on certain things that need to get you through the day. You still do well with your work. You still give your family the best possible version that you can give yourself. But your heart is always mindful. Just as it does not become heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it does not become heedless of those who Allah has called your attention to. And right now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling the attention of this ummah to the people of Palestine, to the people of Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them victory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make firm the ground under them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend his angels of mercy and protection upon them from above them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from every direction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept their dead as shuhada. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure their living. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the ways in which we can help them best. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never allow us to be amongst the forgetful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from heedlessness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us with our brothers and sisters in al-Masjid al-Aqsa while it is liberated. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.